Today, my dear faithful, is Christmas. And on behalf of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, all the priests, sisters, brothers, and seminarians, I want to wish all of you a most blessed and merry Christmas. Now, my dear faithful, for the feast of Christmas, a priest is permitted to offer Mass three times. And so I am going to read from the first Mass of Christmas for today's Epistle and Gospel, but the Mass I am saying is the third Mass. And the Epistle for the Midnight Mass is taken from the book of Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary his espoused wife who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round them, and they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Words taken from the Gospel of Midnight Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Once upon a time, my dear faithful, there lived a prince. He was just a little boy, but he lived in a great palace, and his palace was filled with every toy and game he could want. One day, though, the prince's tutor came into his room. There were all the prince's toys, but the prince was not with them. Instead, the little boy was standing at the window, staring out. The tutor walked over next to him to see what he was looking at. He saw a group of poor children playing in the street. The children, dressed in rags though they were, played their simple game with all the joy only a child can bring to such simple pleasures. The tutor then glanced down at the prince, his royal student dressed in the golden finery as he was, intently watched the children with a longing on his face. The teacher smiled to himself, then asked the prince, "Would you like to stay in the palace today with your toys and games, or go out and play with the poor children in the street. Immediately the prince turned to his teacher and joyfully answered, "I would love to go out and play with them." The tutor then gave permission, and the prince rushed to put on the oldest clothes he had. He played with the poor children all day, running, laughing, and playing just like all the rest. It was, as the story tells us, one of the happiest days of his life. This story, my dear faithful, is a mere fable, and yet it holds great meaning because it was our Lord himself that told it. Our Lord told this story to St. Gertrude the Great. Our Lord explained to her, "I am like that little prince. I love to be with you men and you women." In a very real way, this is exactly what happened on that first Christmas night 2,000 years ago. Our Lord was repeating what he had revealed before in the Old Testament, Book of Proverbs. "My delight is to be with the children of men." However, despite his love for men and all that he had given them, our Lord soon found himself rejected. Mankind rejected him and turned to sin. Because of sin, the eternal destiny of heaven and all its happiness that God offered was closed to man. And our Lord was deprived of their company. But so great was his longing for man, the Sacred Heart refused to allow that. Jesus Christ became the Savior of man by becoming a man himself. And lest men should fear him and his awesome infinite glory as God, he hid himself as a weak little child. He went to the town of Bethlehem to be born, just as his prophets had foretold. Alone with Our Lady and Saint Joseph, he was born in a stable because men refused to welcome him in their inns. Our infant Savior hungered, not for more comfort, though he had so little, but for more hearts to know and to love him. So great was his hungering for this that he had filled the Old Testament with prophecies of his birth, set a miraculous star in the heavens to guide all men to him. He even sent an angel to call the humble shepherds in the area from their fields. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that shall be to all the people," the angel told the shepherds. Then he made that supreme revelation, "For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds and the magi came and adored him, and his little yet infinitely great Sacred Heart was filled with joy. Throughout our Lord's life on earth, it was his joy to be amongst men. He ignored the need for sleep, his hunger and thirst, in order to spend his time with the crowds that surged to him. He loved to be with you men and women, as he told St. Gertrude with the story of the prince. And for the sake of this love for mankind, our Savior embraced and died on his cross. Eventually, he took back his rightful place in heaven in all his glory when he ascended into heaven. But he found himself no longer dwelling amongst men on earth. Like the prince in the story, surrounded with the joys and glory of heaven, the Sacred Heart could not rest content, separated from mankind. And so our Lord, before he ascended into heaven, founded the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. In this way, he continued to dwell amongst us on our altars. Each time at Mass, when the priest turns from the altar, holding the sacred host in his hands, and says, Ecce Agnus Dei, or in English, Behold the Lamb of God, it is as if the priest takes the place of the angel on Christmas night, announcing, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for this day is born to you a Savior. Each day on our altars, the Son of God is born again, so to speak. He comes down from heaven to dwell amongst men, to hear their prayers, and to be their strength. Yet his presence on the altar was still not enough for the love burning in his most sacred heart. Our Lord longed to come to each of us in particular, and so he went further and gave us the gift of himself in Holy Communion. In this way, our Lord comes to each of us to be our own divine guest. When the priest administers Holy Communion, we receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. And as if we were the only object of his infinite love, his infinite longing, and infinite joy to be amongst men. It is as if we take our place at his birthplace on that first Christmas night. We come and kneel to adore the infinite God resting in Our Lady's arms. The infant Savior sees us there, and then he reaches his arms out to us. Our Blessed Mother places in our arms the Christ child. It is true in Holy Communion, you may not be able to see what joy this gives our God, but know that the delight of our God is to be with the children of men. And there is no closer union we can have with him than when we receive him in Holy Communion. Use well those moments, then, when you have the sacramental presence of God within you. In his book on the Holy Eucharist, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, a doctor of the Church, explains how one should spend their time with our Lord within them. First, drive out distractions and turn your mind to the real presence of our Lord. Recall that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hidden under the appearance of the host. This is our newly born Savior come to rest in your heart. Aware then that we hold the Christ child in our hearts, St. Alphonsus tells us we should pray to him then. Welcome him into your heart and tell your God of your love for him. Then ask. Ask him for the graces you need. St. Teresa of Avila says that after communion, our Lord places himself in the soul as on a throne of grace. To each of us, he asks, What willest thou that I should do for you? The Sacred Heart is so filled with joy at dwelling in your soul that whatever grace you ask of him, it will be given to you. Our prayers after communion are far more precious and meritorious in the sight of God than when made at another time because of that close union with our Savior. Our Lord comes to us for the express purpose of granting graces. Ask him then what grace you will, and as much as you will, and you shall receive all. Pray to the King of Kings for the strength you need to overcome temptation. Beg him for the grace you need to live your life for love of him, for the grace you need to practice charity, to be more patient in trials and difficulties, to be pure according to your state in life. Whatever you ask of him, have confidence that he will bless you with many graces. This Christmas, then, my dear faithful, and every time you receive Holy Communion, follow the counsel of St. Alphonsus. In this way, you will gain much grace from your Holy Communions, and you will give such joy to the Sacred Heart. Our Lord longs to spend as much time with you as possible. Strive then to receive him in Holy Communion, and he will reward you so richly. May God bless you, and may you have a most happy and blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.